Welcome to ClickFunnels Radio, where we go behind the scenes and uncover the tactics and strategies top entrepreneurs are using to make more sales, dominate their markets, and how you can get those same results. Here's your host, Dave Woodward.
Hey, everyone. I am so excited. I have my dear friend, Dr. Benjamin Hardy, here on the show. Dr. Benjamin Hardy, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. So Ben actually is a dear friend of mine. I've had the opportunity of getting to know him for quite some time. But I also want to make sure that for those of you guys who don't know him, I want to give him a proper introduction here. So Dr. Benjamin Hardy is an organizational psychologist and best-selling author of Willpower Doesn't Work. I actually did a podcast with him a while back on that book. We're going to be talking about his newest book here in just a second. But his blogs have been read by over 100 million people. They're featured on Forbes, Fortune, CNBC, Cheddar, Big Think, and a host of others. He's a regular contributor to Inc., to Psychology Today, and from 2015 to 2018, he was the number one writer in the world on Medium.com. Huge accomplishment. And in addition to that, he and his wife, Lauren, adopted three children through the foster system in February 2018. 1 month later, his wife became pregnant with twins who were born in December 2018. They live in Orlando, and she's pregnant with her sixth. So, Ben, I'm so excited to have you here. This is just a ton of fun. Again, thank you.
Well, you know how I feel about you and Russell. I mean, you guys are epic. I love your work. I point so many people to ClickFunnels. It's changed my life and business. So I'm so happy to be with you as well, man.
Thanks. So for a little context, for those of you guys who are listening here, we actually were at Joe Polish's and Dean Graziosi's 100K group. It was one of the first times I actually met Ben. And it was fun. We were sitting there just during a lunch break and having a conversation at the time about personality tests. Russell and Ben and I were talking about the DISC test, which we've used quite a bit. And all of a sudden, Ben's countenance totally changed. It was like, you cannot even go there. And I'm like, whoa, just seeing his countenance. I'm like, what? This is a hot tub for Ben. I'm like, what is going on? He goes, no, you don't understand. Personality isn't permanent. And I'm like, ooh, that's a great line. He goes, actually, I've got a book coming out about it. And so we're going to dive right into this. This is a fun topic for me. Again, we've used Myers-Briggs tests. We've used 16 personalities. We've used DISC. And Ben is basically going to debunk all of this right here, right now, saying all of it is useless and worthless, and why it's important to you as a funnel hacker who's listening to this to realize the value of what his new book is. So again, his new book coming out is Personality Isn't Permanent. You can get it at benjaminhardy.com. In addition to that, he's got a whole bunch of other things there. But Ben, let's dive right into this. So why are you so against these personality tests, and what's the whole premise behind the book?
Well, you know, personality tests are just one aspect of this book. The premise of the book is that the past doesn't have to be the ultimate thing predicting who you are or the future. Although that's one of the core concepts in psychology, is that the best way to look at someone's future is by looking at their past. But, you know, if you're someone who wants to make improvement in your life, you should actually have a clear future self, which there's a lot of really good research on this as well. And your future should actually be the thing predicting your current behavior, not your past. And so the book actually teaches you how to do that. There's lots of strategies, obviously, about visualizing, choosing a future self, going through all the process of changing your identity narrative and et cetera, so that you can become the person you want to be versus just the person you've been. So, I mean, that's the ultimate goal of the book. There's lots of things I go into, such as like why trauma keeps you stuck in the past. But as far as personality tests, and we can go down whatever way this rabbit hole you want.
Actually, the rabbit hole I want to go down is, I think right now, especially with this pandemic that we're in right now, there's a lot of people dealing with trauma. And I think that is a hot button I'd love to kind of dive into as far as how this trauma negatively impacts your personality, limits your future. I know as you and I were talking offline before we started doing the recording, one of the hardest things for me as a business owner, as an entrepreneur, is you have entrepreneurial cycles. And each one of those cycles, typically, there's a lot of trauma. And it's hard not to carry that trauma into your next business. I know that I lost a ton of money. I lost a lot of my own personal, at the time, what I thought was my own personal self-esteem, my value, my worth. As a father, as a husband, as a business owner, as a provider, with the whole loss of things that happened, you know, for me between like 2008, 2012 were just really, really tough years. And so I'd like to kind of talk, again, one from a little background story here. Russell and I were talking a while back about this whole concept as far as entrepreneurial cycles. And
cool,
I remember the idea behind, at least for me, was it's really hard because people ask us all the time, well, how come ClickFunnels has had so much success? And I think honestly, is as I take a look at all of the partners and stuff who we have, I've been blessed to have, each one of us have had our own entrepreneurial cycle. This isn't our first rodeo. And so when things go bad, we actually have a lot of skill sets that we've been able to use as a resource to weather those storms. And I think that at least for me, that's been one of the keys in my life, is understanding how to actually use those trauma things in the back of your life to kind of propel you forward. But you're the doctor. You're the man with all the answers on this. So I'd
love to hear what you're doing. Is you're using the past in the way it should be used, right? Which is fuel and information so that you can use it for a better future. That's the opposite of trauma, right? It's because you've used it to not repeat it. But so real quick, just for your listeners, there's a big difference between identity and personality. And identity is how you view yourself. By the way, identity is 100 times more important. Identity is how you self-describe. It's who you define yourself as. So if I were to tell you I'm an introvert, that actually would probably say more about my identity than it actually would say about my personality. Because identity is how you self-describe and how you see yourself. And with a lot of people, for example, who have lost a business, maybe in a prior cycle, often you can lose your identity, right? When you like everything falls apart. And so, yeah, essentially what a trauma is, or at least an unresolved trauma, is it's any event that has shaped your identity in a negative way and limited your sense of the future. So like it's the meaning you gave to a former experience. And so if someone, you know, failed a business as an example, and as a result, they define themselves as a failure. And so therefore they're defined by the past, not the future. Then the past has, you know, taken full control, and they're shaped by the meaning that they gave to that failure. You can choose whatever meaning you want for the past. You can choose to say that failure was exactly what I needed, so that, you know, and obviously it doesn't feel that way in the moment, but now looking back, you can say, I needed that. I mean, just to be honest with you, I gave a talk during a 100K meeting recently, and I flopped the talk, like bad. No, seriously, because this is, you know, right before this launching this book, and I wanted to ask very explicitly for the people in the group who I've been in for a few years to help me. And I didn't know how to do it. And it went off really awkward. And it was so embarrassing, to be honest with you. Usually in negative emotional experiences, our decision-making becomes very black and white. And so like, because of how I was feeling and I was very embarrassed, I was like, I think I probably need to leave this group. Like that was immediately where my decision-making went. Because when you're caught up in the emotions of an experience, and by the way, in psychology, we call it a refractory period. Basically, it's the amount of time it takes to emotionally recover from an event. Like, so if someone cuts you off on the road, hopefully you can recover and get back to moving towards your goals. But if you have a negative experience where you're still defined by it from like 5, 10, 15 years ago, that means that you haven't chosen a new meaning for the past, a better meaning that allows you to move forward. So really, and that's what's cool about memory is that you can change your memories by changing the meanings of what the former experiences mean. I grew up in a traumatic household. My father was a drug addict and stuff like that, but I don't choose to see it the same way I did as an 11-year-old. I choose to look at it and give it better meanings. And so, yeah, I mean, trauma is, it can either be one of two ways. Either it's happening to you or it happened for you, and you can use it to have more agency in the future. And so for me with the talk, I chose to frame it as, This was good. This is exactly what I needed. And me and my friend Joe, who you know, we've been able to use it as a good catalyst to do better things in the future rather than me being defined by what happened last week.
So if you don't mind, let's kind of, we're going to use your experience because it's easier than mine.
Let's do it.
So with that, obviously Joe's a dear friend, a ton of respect for Joe. He's been around for a long time. So how did you guys, what did you actually do with that? How did you use that as a positive?
Well, it takes time. You know, like one of the keys, so I don't know if you have you ever read the book Man's Search for Meaning by chance?
I love it. Yeah.
Yeah. So he says this, you know, and by the way, meaning is so crucial, but he says this, and also many other psychologists and other people say, emotion ceases to be suffering when you give it a clear picture. And usually you give it a clear picture.
Can you say that again?
Yeah.
I think people need to read
it. And I'll explain it, but like emotion ceases to be suffering when you give it a clear picture. So usually if you don't, this is why journaling is so powerful. As a regular practice, it's because you're giving your thoughts and emotions words. You're turning it into stories and you're getting it out of you, and you can then see it as a picture. Well, if you don't regularly journal or express your emotions and share how you're feeling with crucial people in your life, I actually love the quote from Tim Ferriss that the success of a person's life is often by the amount of awkward conversations they're willing to have. You know, like Dan Sullivan says, all progress starts by telling the truth. And this is a really key, like, way of what we call emotionally regulating or healing trauma. Is so I had to turn my emotions, which for 3 days was complete embarrassment and frustration at what happened, into a picture, which is which actually is words. So I journaled about it, and then I talked to a few people about it, and then I ultimately told Joe about it. And I told Joe, look, dude, I didn't like the talk. It didn't go well. Yes, I was underprepared, but also I was not happy with how it turned out. And I honestly just don't know if I can contribute to this group anymore or if this group can contribute to me. I was just being very honest. And luckily, Joe is someone you can have an honest conversation with. But by having those conversations, I was then able to look at it from different perspectives. Joe was able to share with me thoughts that I honestly couldn't have in my you know, one-sided thinking with my emotions. And so journaling about it, talking to people about it, I was able to start seeing it from different perspectives. And my emotions were then able to neutralize. So I was like, okay, I'm not embarrassed about this anymore. I don't need to choose to be embarrassed about it. It didn't go as well as I wanted, but I don't need to be defined by it. And so then we could start thinking about better things in the future. So, I mean, it was really about journaling and about talking about it in a really honest, open way. And then starting to, on my own accord, choose how I wanted to feel about it. And so I decided I'm going to choose to view this as a positive learning experience. That had to be my choice.
I love that. Oh my gosh. I know only because of the craziness I went through years ago that it took a long time for me. I guess my refractory period was much longer than yours.
Well, it was probably a bigger fall than just failing a talk. It was a really hard fall.
It definitely was for me. You talk about identity. I had associated so much of my identity as a man and as a husband with my ability to provide for my family. And when that was taken from me, I struggled for quite some time just trying to find out who am I and how can I be of any worth to anybody when I can't even do the very basic thing of providing for my own family. And that was a massive, massive struggle for me. And it took, you know, quite some time to kind of work through that. But I look back now on it. I was having this conversation with my oldest son, Chandler, as we're going through this whole, you know, pandemic thing. And he's got friends who are now, you know, Chandler's 24 and he's got friends who are now losing their jobs because they were some of the first people in. And they're going, gosh, you know what? I went to college. I did everything I was supposed to do. I just bought a house. Why is this happening? This isn't fair. And I always laugh. I mean, life isn't fair and it's very unfair. I've always felt like, you know what, you just go out and you get your own unfair advantage. I mean, you take whatever, it's just the reality of it. But it's been fascinating for me to be able to use my experience of what I went through to help my own kids to see a different perspective and hopefully not to tie their own identity as a husband, father, whatever to be in providing aspect of it. So I appreciate
that. That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure you've heard of Carol Dweck. She came up with like all the research on like growth mindset versus fixed mindset. Have you heard of growth mindset versus fixed mindset?
I'm just not familiar with Carol.
Yeah. Yeah. She's the one who was the psychologist behind all that amazing research. But one of the big things that she has found, and like, this is a really interesting thing. So she studied little kids, like kids in elementary school and stuff. And one of the studies she did, she gave all of the kids a challenge that they would all fail. Like just to see how they would respond. Like it was so above them. And the people with the fixed mindset, the people who didn't believe they could change, the meaning that they gave to the difficulty and to the failure was I'm dumb. And they were 100% defined by the present. Whereas the people with the growth mindset, when they failed and they all failed, the meaning that they gave to the pain and the difficulty and the failure was I'm getting smarter. And also I'm not there yet. And so they were still seeing themselves on the growth curve and they were still defined by the future. And like, that's one of the key things that Frankl talks about is that you need a purpose for your future in order to actually have context for the present. But people with a fixed mindset, they're defined by purely where they're at right now. So like, you know, when you failed that business, it's like, you can either choose to define yourself by where you are right now, or you can choose a different self-definition. And what's really cool, honestly, is that like where the research has gone on personality is that, and there's a really good TED talk I'd point your listeners to. It's only 6.5 minutes long. It's called The Psychology of Your Future Self. It's by a Harvard psychologist. But basically this is where it's all at right now. You're not the same person you were in the past. You know, you're a different guy, Dave. I mean, I guarantee there's a lot about you that's different from 2018 or sorry, than 2008.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. And like, honestly, almost unanimously, when someone is asked, are you the exact same person you were 10 years ago? Almost everyone says no. So it's really important to view your former self as a different person. They would do different things. They had different knowledge, different skill sets, different context, and different resources than you, and different knowledge and perspectives. And so you're not the same person you were in the past, but also you should view your future self as a different person. when you view your future self similarly as a different person, they're going to be in a different situation, hopefully better knowledge, better situation, you know, better connections, then you can actually make decisions based on what your future self would want versus what your current self would purely prefer. But also this, why this is so important for identity is that rather than being so definitive about who you are in the current self, which is what people with the fixed mindset would do, you would view your current self as temporary. Therefore, you could hold your current identity a little bit more loosely and realize that right now is not the be all end all. You have a future self that's different and you can be very proactive about becoming that person. And you don't have to be so defined by who you are today. In fact, who you are today doesn't really matter that much because you have a future self to strive for. But that's very different from how many people define themselves.
So how do you actually go about doing that? Because it's easy to talk about, but how do you actually make that happen? From a fixed mindset to a growth mindset.
Well, I mean, first step is honestly start with identity, but it would be actually the identity itself. Clarify who you want to be in the future. I think you can decide however far that distance is. I like the 3-year period of time, 2 to 3 years. Who do you want to be? What do you want your circumstances to be? What do you want your attributes, your relationship? Like, clarify your identity in the future. Like, I became a professional writer because when I was, in my first year of graduate school, I clarified I wanted to be a professional writer making at least 6 figures income. Like, the goal always shapes the process. And it's a lot easier to start with identity than working on behavior, because your behavior actually comes from your identity. It's that whole be, do, have concept. You want to start with who you want to be. And then you use that as the basis for what you do and how you describe yourself. So one of the ways that identity exists is by the stories we tell about ourselves. Usually people tell stories that are either present-based or past-based when explaining their identity. But if you hear people like Elon Musk, he talks about how he wants to die on Mars, right? So like, he's very much talking about his future self and using that as the basis for describing why he's acting and behaving the way he is. And so you want to, it takes an enormous amount of courage to say what your future self is because you're not there yet. And because that puts you to the scrutiny of potentially failing. It's a lot easier to just say, this is who I am, so this is how you can expect me, versus saying, this is what I'm going for and I might actually fail. So it takes a lot of courage to say who you want to be, but that allows you then to have a desire to be consistent with your new story, and your behavior over time shapes your personality and it solidifies your identity. So it's a lot. And also obviously there's other things you can do, such as investing money into your future identity. That's how you get increasingly committed, put yourself in a new, environment, put yourself into new situations and resources. There's plenty of ways to do it, but you have to start with who do you want to be? And realize that you're not that person yet, and that who you are today is flexible. And also you have changed in the past. It's just realizing that you're not the same guy and you're not going to be the same guy, but you can be very, intentional about the person you want to be. And then you can be very strategic about how you get there.
Oh, I love that. I think so often, I remember when I first met you and just hearing your story as far as even getting into graduate school.
Oh, that was crazy.
So if you don't mind, I think it'd be of value to our listeners, if you don't mind, just kind of share that story, because again, I think of what you just described as far as the be, do, have, that was exactly you, and you were the epitome of exactly how that happened, especially becoming a professional writer. I mean, that's not a professional writer who makes 6 figures. There's one thing to be
seven now, thanks to ClickFunnels.
There's one thing to be a professional writer. It's another thing to actually make money at 6 figure,
yeah,
now 7 figure
true
level. So if you don't mind, just for context for our listeners, so they can understand how you actually did that, I'd appreciate you sharing that story.
Yeah. So I ended up serving a church mission, you know what I mean? And that was what actually taught me that people could change, because I came from a really bad background. Father was a drug addict and things like that. By the way, my dad is no longer a drug addict. He's changed a lot. We're great friends. But when I was going through psychology as an undergrad, I didn't know what the heck I was going to do. I knew I wanted to be a writer in some form or fashion, but never was doing anything about it yet. Just wasn't quite clear on that. But the first time I applied to graduate school, actually, I applied to 15 schools and got rejected to all of them. And I was applying to the wrong program. I thought I was going to go like clinical or be a professor or something like that. Even though I wanted to be a professional writer and an entrepreneur, I just figured I wanted to have a PhD because I felt like that would be helpful towards my future goals. Then my wife and I were traveling through China, and I met some guy who was like the leader over all of Asia at Apple, and he told me that his boss was an IO psychologist. And so I'm like, oh, I didn't know that before. You actually can't set goals that you're not aware of. And so I'm like, okay, that sounds like something that would be more interesting. So I then applied and had a great professor who actually is a big ClickFunnels fan as well, who helped me get into graduate school and was able to just do that. And then obviously during the first year of my graduate program, I decided I wanted to be a professional writer. I decided that then I was ready to start. That was right when we got our three foster kids. And so then that's when I started investing in that goal. And when I started investing in it, that's when I became very committed to it. But I did start with yourself. I want to be a professional writer, making at least six figures income to provide for my family. I want to be a published author. I defined my future self, and then that goal shaped my process. And because I was super committed to that, I found out that in order to get a six-figure book deal, you had to have at least 100,000 email subscribers. So like a lot of people, like I didn't learn how to monetize my email list until years after I had it, because my only goal at the beginning was just to get a six-figure book deal. And in order to do that, you actually have to have hundreds of thousands of email subscribers. And since that was my goal, my process was all around how do I get email subscribers? So I got way good at blogging, way good at headlines. And then in 2016, I read .com Secrets. I was actually in Alaska when I read that book, fishing with my father-in-law. And I'm like, oh my gosh, here was my problem at the time. I was getting millions of views on Medium, but I was sending all of my traffic to my website. And I realized, you know, I need to just send them to a landing page. And immediately I went from getting like 2,000 emails a month to 20 just by making that one change. And so then I was able to, you know, and obviously using the techniques you guys teach, and I use ClickFunnels. I actually got Ryan Holiday tens of thousands of emails and got him interested in ClickFunnels. I know he told you guys about that. I think he told Russell about that, but you know, it's just an amazing tool.
It was fun just to have him on stage at Funnel Hacking Live and knowing that he came from you, and we met you through Joe and Dean's.
That whole first domino concept, right?
Huge. Yeah. And again, I think that for me, the greatest benefit I have seeing where our users are right now is to see the trickle down effect of seeing who else was impacted. Obviously I love the fact that you're a ClickFunnels user, but the part
it makes life so much easier, man.
But the part I love more than anything else is you're sharing your message through it, and you literally are impacting millions of people, not hundreds of thousands. You literally are impact. I mean, Ben, your work impacts millions of people. And to think that we have a little tiny, tiny piece in that role is just such an amazing experience for us to think of, oh my gosh. And then obviously you connected with Ryan but to me, I think the part that I love the most is in your work, you focus so much on identity. And I know that as a business owner and as an entrepreneur, identity is one of the hardest things to protect and also grow. And I think that I've had this conversation so many times with Russell as well as with other business owners that we associate with. And that is, you have to protect that as much as possible, because there's everyone else out there is always attacking you and trying to basically destroy your identity.
And those can become traumas if you let them, if you absorb them.
Well, my wife and I were talking about this the other day, how she had a fitness product years ago. And the hardest part for her is fitness is so near and dear to her heart that when people weren't having success through her program, she took it so personal. It was like, I have failed them. And I'm like, sweetie, no, you haven't failed them at all. She goes, no, I have. They bought my program and it didn't work for them. I'm like, no, you cannot be responsible for what they do with your content. And it was because of that she's actually kind of shifted gears, just because she felt so connected and responsible for their success that it really had a negative impact on her and her own business.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's a challenging aspect of identity. Another reason why your current self shouldn't be held so tightly is because whatever is sacred to you, you seek to defend it and seek to confirm it. And so like you're very, like if someone says I'm an introvert, just as one example, like they're going to try to confirm that and defend that, right? Against criticism, because you hold whatever you hold sacred as part of your identity, you don't want it to be criticized. And so that's another reason why, you know, we call it psychological flexibility in psychology, but you don't want to hold your current identity so tightly, because if it is so tight, then it can be shattered and destroyed. It's called a fragile identity. That's why I think having a future oriented identity that you're striving towards is a lot safer of a bet.
Oh, I love it. Well, Ben, obviously I could spend hours and hours talking to you about this, but where do people actually get your book, Personality Isn't Permanent?
Yeah, I don't even know if people can see this, but at least you can, Dave. Personality Isn't Permanent. It's with Penguin, and they can get it anywhere, you know, Audible, Kindle, etc. My website's benjaminhari.com. My blogs are all there. You can also get access to multiple free online courses by getting Personality Isn't Permanent courses that go deep. This book has about 150 journal prompts for reframing former experiences, changing your memories, etc., you know, stuff like that, but also clarifying your future self and going through that process of becoming. And so there's a lot of journal prompts. I have courses that take you through that content And I also did a full workshop at Genius Network a couple of years ago on all my blogging strategies to get, you know, six-figure book deals, millions of views, tens of millions of views, many other things. And that's free as well. Full day workshop over at Genius just by getting this book. It's all on BenjaminHardy.com.
So everyone who's listening, I highly recommend. First of all, Ben's a dear friend of mine and I feel so grateful to even have as a friend. We've had an opportunity of sharing different times together at different events and things. I highly recommend his books, all of them. But right now, the main one I would say is Personality Isn't Permanent. So please go to BenjaminHardy.com, get his book from his website, because there you actually get access to all the other free content, which you're not going to get at Amazon and Barnes & Noble and all the other places. So go to BenjaminHardy.com and go ahead and buy a copy for yourself, and then buy one for a friend as well, because you're going to find that the content there is valuable, not only for you, but for anybody who you love and care about. So please go to BenjaminHardy.com. Ben, I can't thank you enough. I always love spending time with you.
Dude, it's always very uplifting for me. It's always very uplifting for me to be with you as well. I mean, I definitely love your energy, and I don't know. I just love what you guys are doing. It's always a good experience for me to be around you guys and your work.
Well, thank you very much. Any parting words for our audience?
Nah, just go get Personality Isn't Permanent and enjoy it. I think it will certainly blow your mind.
Awesome. Ben, thanks so much, bud.